Hello again. Welcome to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. What a show we have in store for you today. Today we talk grilling and barbecuing with Mark Lansing Jr. of Jumpin' Jack's Drive-In in Scotia, New York. Also joining us today, Sean Custer, the owner and operator of Capital Q Smokehouse in Albany. You know, the Kansas City pulled pork, the Carolina pulled pork. Oh, we got burgers to talk about today and to try, some onion rings, some fried dough, some pulled pork. Give us a call if you have a question about grilling today, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or barbecuing, and they're different, you know. We'll talk about that coming up on the show. It's a Food Friday, and we'll begin after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday. This is our live call-in show for today. I'm Ray Graff. Today we explore the summertime culinary pastimes of grilling and barbecuing. And here to help steer us, two experts. Mark Lansing Jr. is the general manager of Jumpin' Jack's Drive-In in Scotia, founded in 1952. And it has been a staple in the capital region ever since, with iconic menu items such as the Jack Burger. Also joining us today, Sean Custer, the owner and operator of Capital Q Smokehouse in Albany. Originally from Oklahoma, Sean has more than 25 years of restaurant experience. Capital Q Smokehouse specializes in pulled pork, Texas-style beef brisket, and pork ribs. And the number to call if you have a question, and these guys know what they're talking about, 800-348-2551. You're not so sure, Mark? Well, I think you do know what you're talking about. 800-348-2551 if you have a question. Sean and Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys here. I got to tell you, full disclosure, I was dragging pretty good. I mean, I've been doing two shows a day here. At the end of the week, the Jack Burger just infused life into me. At least once a summer, we get out to Scotia for the Jack Burger. It's one of those great things. I mean, God, it's.
I appreciate your visit.
Generations of people. Well, part of it is the entertaining part of watching them cook and yell Subway and.
Right.
And it's. I mean, they have the shorthand names for the different burgers and such. It's pretty great. So it's great to have you here, Mark. Sean Custer, you've been on before. Last time you were on, we talked grilling and fried southern foods.
Southern foods. I was here with Jasper from Hattie's up in Saratoga.
Yeah, so how are things going for you, man?
Pretty good. Better than last year. We had a fire last year, and we're closed for 3 months in the summer.
How did I miss that? So what happened?
The smoker caught fire. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Wow. And so did you end up selling the meat that was in the smoker?
No. The fire department was very, very upset when they saw all that brisket on there that they just hosed down and...
All right, you brought the brisket up. So I had a Jack Burger before the show and two slabs of the brisket. Let's just get right to it. The brisket. I had two good-sized pieces. The first couple bites, no sauce. And that's always my first test, just to see how it tastes without sauce. And it is, as expected, spectacular. Tell us how you do the brisket.
The brisket, we kind of let it speak for itself. We do very little to it. We don't trim it. We have a rub that has, for example, our pork butt rub has about 12 different ingredients. The beef rub has four. Two of them are salt and pepper.
Okay.
Okay, the beef just speaks for itself. Put it in the smoker, let it go low and slow for 14 hours.
14?
Yep. And that's it.
I mean, but, it's not falling apart. You can pick it up, and I ate it with my fingers. But it is just so succulent, and the fat, as I was saying to you before the show, the fat is half the fun. It tastes so good, and sometimes you get fat in meat, and you don't want it, but that's delicious.
That's some tasty fat.
And so the sauce, then, I tried it with the sauce, and what kind of sauce is that red sauce?
Okay, this is the Okie sauce, which is a traditional Kansas City-style sauce, but I am from Oklahoma.
So you want no Kansas references for you.
It's okay.
All right.
But, I mean, it's a Kansas City-style sauce, but like I said, I'm from Oklahoma. It's my sauce. So, phooey on Kansas. It's not, the Kansas City style. This is the Okie style.
And what do you got? What's in it?
Well, this is what you think of as a basic you know, your regular tomato-y barbecue sauce. Yeah. It's thick, it's sweet, it's a little spicy, as opposed to our two Carolina-style barbecue sauces, which are both vinegar-based, much more, you know, like a vinegar and sugar. The North Carolina has tomato in it. The South Carolina has mustard in it.
Yeah.
And the mustard-flavored one is, it's the least popular, but it's by far the best one. I mean, it's just got such a nice, complex flavor, and it takes a while for people to come around to it.
Yeah.
And when they do, they're like, oh, my God, that's just amazing.
You know, I do a lot of grilling in the warm – if there are ever warm weather months, I do a lot of grilling at home. And I picked up recently in the grocery store this – I don't remember the brand, one of the big brands. They have a Carolina mustard, and it's just – it's a different taste than you're used to. There's some sweetness there and a little tang. It's pretty good stuff. Now, Mark Lansing Jr., I assume that somebody at Jumpin' Jacks has won the Nobel Prize at one point, right, for the quality work you've done?
Thank you. I don't think so. I'll have to check, though.
No? How many people do you serve in the course of a season?
Oh, wow. In the course of a season?
Yeah.
Let's see. Our season is about 180 days long. We're open 7 days a week. Yeah. Man, I have...
thousands.
It's you know, on our good days, over 1,000 a day.
Oh, yeah.
And we have some days where it seems like 50 people come through.
Really?
The rainy, cold days in the spring.
I've been there on cold days and, you know, for baseball games that are nearby there. And I got to tell you, the place always does a great business, and
thank you.
And you move the customers along, and I think that's a trick. I mean, how do you crank them out so quick?
I got a crew full of people that really work so hard for me.
Yeah.
I give them some responsibility, you know, especially some of the teenagers that start for us. Give them some responsibility, expect great things out of them, and they really step up.
It's a high pressure environment for a kid.
It is and it isn't. We try to keep it light and make sure we have a good time, you know. We take the serious things serious, you know, quality of food and those types of things.
And the burger, I mean, it's so great. It's a classic double-decker burger. And you were saying earlier there was a time, a brief period several years ago, where you couldn't get the middle piece of bread. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, our supply dried up. I don't really remember the exact reason why, but I think there was about 2 years there where we had a standard seated roll with no center, and it tastes different without that middle piece of bread. You'd be surprised.
It's good bread, too. It tastes delicious.
We get it from Tennessee Bun Company.
Really? Right. All the way in Tennessee?
Yes.
And they ship it up? How many do they ship up a week for you guys? A lot.
I think at the end of the year, it ends up being about a tractor trailer full.
Holy mackerel. Well, it is a Vox Pop Food Friday. We talk grilling and barbecuing today with Mark Lansing Jr. of Jumpin' Jack's Drive-In in Scotia and Sean Custer of Capital Q. And before we jump on the phones, let's find out what you guys brought today. Well, we know you brought a Jack Burger. What else did you bring?
I brought some of our fried clam strips to try and some French fries, onion rings, Twister fries. I also brought some fried dough.
Well, I did not know about the fried dough.
Oh, I got the fried dough. Where'd it go?
All right.
It's right there in front of you.
Oh, yeah. I set my plate.
Under your plate.
I set my empty rib plate on it.
You better give some to Sean. He looks hungry.
Yeah.
It's funny. These guys, both of them said, I don't eat my own cooking on the show. So here, Sean, you have some.
Thank you very much. And the powdered sugar. Okay.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. And if you're on the line, hang in there. We will get to calls shortly. And before you take a bite, Sean, what did you bring today?
Okay. Well, we have. Like you said, we have the sliced beef brisket, the Texas-style beef brisket.
Beautiful.
We've got some Memphis-style pork spare ribs.
Nice.
The Memphis-style means that they're served without the sauce.
Really?
The sauce is not the object, okay? The center of attention is the meat. You want to taste the meat, the smoke, and the rub. The sauce is secondary.
So the Memphis has rub but not sauce.
Correct.
Nice.
And that way, like you said about the beef, you like to try it without the sauce.
Yeah.
That's the way I enjoy the ribs. You can have some dipping sauce on the side, but the sauce is not the star.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the meat and the smoke and the seasoning. And then we have the chipotle lime glazed smoked yard birds, which for you Northerners is chicken.
Yeah. Not around here, the yard birds are usually pigeons. But wow. So lime and chipotle?
A chipotle lime glaze.
Oh. All right. Well, we're going to have to try that. Let's take a call, and then we'll take a break. We'll try some of the food during the break. We start out with Tamara in Western Massachusetts. Tamara.
Yes. I just bought a new smoker in the winter, so I really haven't tried it out, and I'm new to smoking. And I bought a big hunk of meat. I think it's a shoulder. And do you have any words of wisdom? I don't want to dry it out. I was thinking about injecting it, and I have a spritzer spray with apple and pineapple to spritz it so it doesn't dry out. Any words of advice?
I'm sure he does, and I'm sure he'll tell you how to not have it catch on fire, too. So go ahead, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm
brand new.
Well, the thing is, with any new smoker, any new tool, you have to figure it. Every smoker has different characteristics. I mean, I've been doing this for going on 13 years, and if I got a new smoker, I'd be scratching my head, too.
Yeah.
You just have to play around with it and figure out what its exact characteristics are.
Low
and slow is your key.
What temperature do I do that?
For a beef.
What temperature do I?
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
About 2 1/4, 225 is a good temperature.
For beef.
Yes. Okay. Because you want to get the internal temperature up to 185 degrees. And then that's when the magic starts to happen. That's when the connective tissue starts to break down. That's when the fat starts to render a little bit. So you have to get it to that internal temperature, and then you cook it for a period of time.
And okay, the period of time being?
How big is the piece of meat? My mother used to ask me this all the time. How long do I cook a roast? And I'm just like, how big is it?
Well, how about that?
I think it's about 10, 12 pounds. It costs like $11.
10 to 12 pounds.
Oh, that's a good size chunk of meat.
Yeah.
And it's generally, okay, like a shoulder is going to be a bigger, like a rounder piece of meat, whereas, like, say, a brisket is a flat piece of meat.
Right.
You might want to consider cutting that in half, and that way you just get more surface area. You're going to get more smoke flavor getting through there. And you were talking about injecting. Injecting and brining is great. Adds a lot of juice, especially with things that don't have a lot of internal fat.
But do you do that?
No.
No. But it's okay.
No, I'm lazy. I don't do anything.
You're okay. Well, you don't need to. But maybe for a first try, Tamara, you should do
that. How do you keep it from getting dry? Do you spritz it?
You can. I mean, if you mentioned you had the pineapple and apple cider vinegar, that's a great mop that you could periodically open up the smoker and mop it with that. But you do also, at the same time, you want the meat to develop a nice bark.
Yeah.
You know, with the seasoning, because
if
you have the rub on the outside, which is generally a mixture of sugar and salt and different spices. Actually, our beef rub doesn't have any sugar in it. It's, you know, four ingredients and two of them are salt and pepper.
Yeah. What are the other two?
Can't tell you.
Ah!
I could tell you, but I'm not going to.
All right. Well, Tamara, we got to take a break here. Good luck with that and just practice. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Food Friday. Grilling, barbecuing with Mark Lansing and Sean Custer. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. Two topics very close to my somewhat clogged heart. Grilling and barbecuing today. Mark Lansing of Jumpin' Jack's Drive-In. Sean Custer of Capital Q Smokehouse in Albany. And the fried dough, Mark Lansing Jr., really good stuff. And I had mine without sugar, in case my wife is listening. Delicious. I mean, the texture, and it's not too soggy. It's perfect. Tell us about it.
We started with the fried dough about 10 years ago. Originally, we were trying to proof our own dough in a proof rack, and on the slow days, we'd have too much overproofed, and on the busy days, we didn't have enough proofed.
When you say proofed, this is the dough rising?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the ones when they've risen up too much, it's all over the place. It's a terrible, terrible sloppy mess, and it doesn't cook well, doesn't taste well. So we found a good product. It's Bryson fried dough, and they come frozen.
Nice.
And they've already done all the hard work for us, and we get a really good consistent delicious product out of them.
And Sean, you think it's okay?
I can attest to that. Absolutely.
You had a great question in the break, and I didn't even think about this. We go to the fair, and you see the funnel cakes. It's not the same thing.
No, and like I'll let Mark describe the difference between the funnel cake and the fried dough.
Yeah, the funnel cakes, they're a batter. So you get yourself, we don't do funnel cakes.
Right.
But you got a pitcher with your batter mixed up in it, and you get a form. It sits right in your fryer with a handle on it. It's a little round form or whatever size you want to make your funnel cakes. And then you drizzle the batter into the fryer, and as it cooks up, it solidifies with itself, and then you can pull the...
So really, that's easier.
You pull the form, and you've got, well, yes and no. It could be. I mean, right now we take the fried dough out of the freezer, pop it in the fryer.
Well, all right.
Flip it and go. It's easier on our end based on the product that we buy.
I dig it. All right, a couple of quick emails here, and then we'll jump back on the phones. 800-348-2551. This one's from Gina. My annoying stepson refused to cook our brisket 12 to 14 hours, which I suggested. He said since it wasn't very big, 2 to 3 pounds, just 3 hours would be fine. Do you gauge cooking time by size or per pound like poultry? You're making me hungry. And that's from Gina. Gina, next time you come, you come and we'll do one of these shows. The food is really good. So, all right, what do you think?
Well, it's not like you're cooking it to temperature as like, you know, as a medium rare or medium. Okay, it's done. Okay, yeah. It's well done. It's cooked through. Whether it would, for a 3-pounder, would you have to go the full 12 to 14 hours? I doubt it.
Would it hurt it?
It could. It might be a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But it's that fine line. Like I said, it's when you reach the internal temperature, gets up to a certain point, then the connective tissue starts to break down. And brisket is such a tough, nasty cut of beef that this is, that the slow cooking is the way that it really becomes palatable.
Yeah.
It's a very flavorful cut of beef, and that's generally the trade-off that you have. There's the more tender cuts are the least flavorful. Generally, the more flavorful cuts are the tougher cuts, brisket being the toughest of all of them, and that's why you have to cook it for 12 to 14 hours.
But it's amazing how it comes out when you do it right.
It's great.
Oh, God. This one's from Greg. I have been barbecuing for years but never used a smoker. How exactly does a smoker work? Do you like coals at the bottom and put wood chips on top of it? Please elaborate.
It all depends on the type of smoker that you have. Some of them are strictly wood-fired, where you could use lump charcoal, or you actually start a fire using, you know, chunks of dry seasoned wood. Or some could be gas fired, and that has you add wood chips to
them.
The main thing about smoking, you can even use your Weber grill. The big difference in between grilling and smoking is in grilling you're using high direct heat. In smoking or barbecue, it's low heat and it's indirect.
Right.
So the fire's over here and the meat's over there, and the smoke is kind of drifting through, and it's the gentle indirect heat that just really helps the meat break down without drying it out. That's really the key point.
Now, I'll do a hybrid method at home. I have a charcoal grill at home, and we'll often use either lump charcoal or just straight charcoal. But oftentimes I will sear the steak or sausages or whatever, and then I'll put them up top and just start throwing wood chips on directly on the coals and just let it go. And it takes 45 minutes sometimes. But they cook very slow, and they get smoky and delicious.
And I bet the results are fine.
Well, I don't get much complaints. I don't get to eat much of it, but everyone says it's pretty good. Let's go over to Mark in Salem. Mark.
Hi, Ray. First things first.
Yeah.
Did you make your goal this morning?
Oh, the in the lockbox? Yes, we did. Yeah. But, hey, feel free. I know you're probably...
No, I contributed twice.
All right, man.
1-800-323-9262.
All right. And I'm sure you're saving up for a new rooster as well. So go ahead.
My question is about venison. My cholesterol is very high, and so I have to watch everything I eat. And I do eat beef, but... venison is very low in fat, and I usually do a beef stew. Venison stew. Is there some other suggestion? This is frozen venison. Could you suggest something that might be interesting that I could do with it besides making a stew out of it?
Well, smoked venison is a traditional time-honored favorite. I mean, native people have been smoking venison for thousands of years.
You know, very much like brisket, venison can be very tough depending on the deer.
Yes.
And so that probably works very well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you cut it into smaller pieces or I mean, I don't. I usually cut with stew. Like, cut it up and you know you brown it and flour it and then brown it and mm-hmm. put your other vegetables in after you've cooked it. But with if it's a piece of venison that hasn't been cut up.
You can do a roast, just cooking it for a longer period of time in the smoker. Like I told one of the previous callers, depending upon the size of the cut, if you cut it into smaller pieces, you're going to get more surface area, for your seasoning and for the smoke to get in. Venison is one of those meats that generally I preferred my venison to be on the medium rare side.
What spices?
Well, salt and pepper being the two main ones, you can get away just with those. Most people under season. It's one of my
turmeric.
Turmeric is pretty strong. Okay, that's a pretty distinctive flavor there. A lot of bay leaf, juniper berry goes very well with venison.
Juniper berry.
Yes.
Actually,
in a nice hard red wine, marinade is really good. But that's more of, we're talking stew here. That's
yeah, we
really
are.
Barbecue. You know what's another good low-fat alternative than venison is rabbit, which is one of my favorite meats.
Oh, I love rabbit.
Rabbit is delicious, and it's totally underrated in this country.
Do you ever serve any at the Capital Q?
Italy years ago, and it was just such a delight.
All right. Well, hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And I assume you can't get the rabbit over at the Jumpin' Jacks.
No, we don't serve any rabbit.
No? Nice rabbit burger. Well, that's very interesting, though, about the venison. One thing I learned about venison years ago, decades ago, is don't make lasagna out of it. It's just not a good combination.
It doesn't have the fat, in it. And it's a naturally lean meat. It can be tougher as a wild meat. There's a lot of farm-raised venison. Most of the venison that's on the market is farm-raised because it has to be inspected. But I had one of my employees' dads was out hunting. He brought in an elk. And I'm not allowed to serve that, because it's a wild animal.
Right.
It was not USDA inspected, but I could sure as heck smoke it up for the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy got a good bit of it, too. I mean, we were making sausages, smoking the backstrap, making jerky, and
tasty stuff, yeah. The number here is 800-348-2551. We talk barbecuing and grilling today. Mark Lansing Jr. of Jumpin' Jack's Drive-In and Sean Custer of Capital Q Smokehouse. Mark, how you guys are wood not wood fired but grill? You have grills set up, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and so what do you use for your heating medium?
We use propane.
Oh, propane grills?
Yep.
And how many at a time are cooking? I mean, the line sometimes.
How many grills? We have one grill.
How many burgers can you cook at a time?
We can fit. I think you fit 24 on the grill at once.
Yeah. And oftentimes at peak times, you're doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually take 4 off, put 4 on.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Casey in Rexford. Casey.
Hi. For your previous callers, I was actually thinking of the venison guy. I make venison jerky. And so that's one thing you can do with venison.
Jerky,
but also,
yeah.
Look in other cultures that use deer meat more often, that use venison more often. So look for other cultures that use it and to look for their recipes in other cultures. So maybe some Canadian recipes. That's sort of one of my guidelines for where do I find recipes for meats that aren't usually, or organ meat mostly, that's not served in America.
Makes sense.
So that's one place. And then for your caller that wondered, this is that things don't dry out when they're cooked for 10 hours at 250. And you already told her one of the ways is that the sugar in the coating seals up, and you call it a bark, right?
Correct.
I call it a hard coating. And right. So the bark protects the meat and keeps the juices in. And also when you cook at a lower heat, you're not evaporating the moisture from the meat. And you also raise the humidity level in the oven for the time period that you're cooking as well.
Correct.
Then
and that's
when you
a
start
very
to break down connective tissue, when you start to break down connective tissue, what's between the connective tissue is the fat. The fat also protects the meat. It keeps it moist, but most importantly, it keeps the moisture trapped between the layers of the tissue. That's what makes it moist. And all of this combines to keep it from drying out. So that's for your previous caller who had asked that question. You know, because it's counterintuitive to many people who cook but don't grill or don't smoke or don't do any of these other techniques. It's counterintuitive that you would cook a piece of meat for a long time at any temperature, right?
Right.
Our intuition tells us it dries out, so we need to explain to people. She asked a good question: what keeps it from drying out?
Yeah.
So here's what keeps it from drying out: the meat, the coating, and the lower heat keeps from moisture from evaporating. And you know that you're cooking it in a sealed box, your oven, or some other medium that's sealed is what helps to keep the moisture in that you're getting from the lower heating. So. It creates an environment.
Okay.
And proofing is actually raising bread in a controlled medium as opposed to just raising things. So my question has to do with starting right off the bat of barbecuing.
Yeah.
Yep. Starting right off the bat of barbecuing. Let's start with the basics of what kind of meat, what kind of cuts of meat do you want to look for to be made into hamburger meat, to be made for your burgers.
So I love this question.
If you're lucky, you can find top round, you know, chuck. Can you make a mixture of them? And then along with that goes the percentage of fat in different meats or fat in the meat that you want to use to mix up or make for burgers.
I recommend 75%.
Kind of basic.
75%, 25% is my personal go-to. You need
juice.
We use
80-20.
80-20 will work too.
80-20 is very common.
Anything less fatty than that, you don't. They take forever to cook, and there's no flavor left when it's done cooking.
Yeah, right. like the 90-10,
well, generally
the lean
speaking,
ground
the only
beef.
80, yeah, the only 80 that you find out there is chuck. So what I wind up doing is taking top round, which is my favorite that they make too lean, and supplementing it with just fat that they put through the grinder, and just adding some fat back in, and then also adding some chuck because I love the flavor. Chuck helps to keep it juicy and just give it a little, you know, kind of a flavor that most people aren't used to coming across. When you change something that you get in the supermarket, even just a little bit, you can make it your own. And that goes for just adding a little more fat or adding a little different cut of meat to something. So, and that's the basics of where you start is where you're with your meat and your fat percentage.
Okay. So quickly here, and then we'll have to let you go. The combo.
Well, I mean, Mark's the burger guy.
Oh yeah, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, the 75-25 is the perfect.
That's
burger
what I like.
That's the perfect burger ratio.
All right. So, what would you go for the cuts of meat involved?
We use a top round and a chuck.
Yep.
That's what our burgers are.
Top
are
round
made
and
of.
Chuck. Yeah.
80-20 is definitely a way to go for us. We've
plenty
tried
of
other,
juice.
Yep. We've tried other cuts and or other mixtures and. 80-20 is where it's at.
Always a mistake when I'm in the store getting meat to grill to get a 90% lean. It's just doesn't work, man. Doesn't work. All right, back to the phones, 800-348-2551. John in Saratoga. John.
Yes, hi. I also have a hamburger-related question.
Hooray.
So I love, like, the Five Guys type burger, Shake Shack, that sort of thing. But then if you go to, like, a pub or a bar and you get those big, thick, and in my opinion, not very good burgers, what is the difference? How do they get that flavor that also seems difficult to replicate at home?
Well, it might be cooking style, too.
Yeah, well, could be.
I think I know what he's talking about. A lot of times you go to a pub, it might be a little dried out. Yet the burger I had, the Jack burger, was just perfect in every way. So how do you do it?
We got to make sure our grill is set at the right temp, first and foremost.
What's the temp?
I eyeball it.
Well, that's a good answer.
Because we're outside, pulling a temp off the top of the grill, we're essentially outside most of the year, you know, we're open air. So hitting it with a thermometer doesn't really tell me because sometimes I've got a north wind or a west wind blowing across the grill and I got to have it up higher. Some days it's a south wind and there's no air movement across the grill. And so, you know, our grill seems to kind of have a mind of its own. It changes every day. So I go by feel. I don't go by, you know, pulling temperature off of it.
You know, John, I think that sometimes you get a burger in one of those places and it's just overdone and they get dry. To me, that's my generalization.
I think there's a combination.
Well, I would agree, too.
of you know some of the different issues.
Go ahead, Sean.
One of the big differences, like I prefer to have a griddled burger as opposed to a charbroiled burger. On a flat top, you know, like you get at McDonald's or White Castle. That's just a traditional, okay, just boom, put that
right,
burger.
Five Guys.
A fried burger, yeah. Exactly, as opposed to a charbroil. That way it gets to kind of cook in its own juices.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true as well. I think that probably makes the biggest difference. John, thank you for the call. We have to take a break here. It's Food Friday. Mark Lansing of Jumpin' Jacks, Sean Custer of Capital Q Smokehouse, and we'll be back. Vox Pop Food Friday, Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Sean Custer is the owner and operator of Capital Q Smokehouse in Albany and just pretty much a genius with this stuff, with the Kansas City and the Carolina-style good barbecue. Mark Lansing Jr. is the general manager of Jumpin' Jacks Drive-In in Scotia. If you have ever been over the bridge going into Scotia, you see Jumpin' Jacks on the right, and it is always crowded. Well, not in the middle of February, but in the summertime and spring, it's a crowded place for a reason. Great to have you guys here. This email came in from Ray about Jumpin' Jacks. What's the history of the staff yelling Subway when someone leaves a tip?
That means
it's real old.
Subway like a Subway token.
Yeah.
Token of your appreciation for our hard work.
And I wonder now, you know, they've been doing that in bars for forever too. So it's not your creation, right?
I really have no idea if we originated it or if somebody heard it or stole it from somewhere, but it's been—
That's interesting.
Even my dad doesn't know exactly who on the crew started it, so it predates him.
Well, that's very interesting because, 20, 30 years ago, I would occasionally go out and have a cocktail or two here in town, and some of the bartenders would yell Subway.
Oh, yeah?
When they got a tip, and I wonder if they maybe were from Scotia and grew up going to Jumpin' Jacks.
They could have borrowed it from us. Yeah. We could have borrowed it from them. I really don't know.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800—let me write the number down. 800-348-2551. I'm getting into Fun Drive mode, which starts Monday, and that's a different number. So I have to concentrate now. Let's go to line 5 and Jim in Georgia. Jim.
Hi, Ray. This is concerning grilling venison.
Ah.
I just wanted to point out that if the deer is female, you can have fried dough.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Good one.
And I'm listening on my WAMC crank radio, and I'm surprised it's picking up this program.
In Georgia. That's a darn good receiver.
Well, Georgia, Vermont.
Oh.
Since it's a crank radio, I thought it would only pick up programs when Alan was on.
Ooh, ouch. Oh, save it for the fun drive,
this
Jim.
That's great.
Well done, sir. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. And now I'll get fired for that. That's right. Noel in Vermont, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling to find out what's a good way to cook a turkey burger, other than jalapeno peppers and cheddar cheese that you usually find in the mix in the grocery stores. What can go into it so that it doesn't get so dry?
Bacon fat.
Okay.
Is that a no-go for you, Noel?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's
so,
a no-go.
Well, that's what I do with my turkey and also how I cook my venison sausage in bacon fat, actually.
Oh.
But I never thought about cooking like my turkey burger on a grill and adding bacon fat to it.
Turkey is just a dry meat.
Yeah. So what would you do? I mean, would you just add some right into the mix?
Yeah, like you were saying, okay, we were talking about the fat ratio
of
the ground beef mixtures. I mean, you would actually have to add fat to it. Maybe butter.
Butter? Really?
A bit of butter makes it bitter, better, better.
Sausage and butter, too. Yeah. But so do you just, like, cook the bacon, get the fat off it, and add it to the turkey? Or do you grind it and... Like chop it and put it in.
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
I don't know. I've never tried it. Either way would work. You could pour in some rendered bacon fat, but I think just grinding up the raw bacon and mixing that in would make a superior turkey burger.
That does sound good. Yeah, that does sound good. Maybe I'll try that. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot
for the call. Let us know how it turns out.
I bet you that would be good. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. So, Sean, you said that you guys had the fire during peak season last year.
Yeah.
And you're at full operation this spring and summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mark, how long do you guys stay open in the fall?
The day before Labor Day is our last day.
Really?
Yep.
You ever think about going a little further? We had such a rough spring.
A lot of people ask us that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's feasible. Like I was telling you guys earlier before we were on the air, in the spring, if we get 50 degrees, even, you know, in April, we're super busy.
Yeah.
Whereas you get a really nice stretch of 75 degree days in September, and you will not do the business you do in April.
Interesting.
Because people are so ready to be outside and so ready for winter and the cold weather to be over. As soon as we're open, it's like the rite of spring. They're ready to go, ready for spring and summer and warm weather. And I also think we lose a lot of college kids and a lot of high school kids go back.
Yeah.
I think it's tough on them to start a new semester if we're still open holding a job. I feel like they
would. Oh, I see. As far as employees go.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they would want more time off. It's different in the spring. They've been in the school year, you know, for 7 months or whatever, and they've got it figured out and reopened, and then, you know, they've got some extra time on their hands.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and David in Latham. David.
Hi. I went to college in Eastern North Carolina, and I remember they would always say that pulled pork was like the state food, but they made a distinction between Eastern North Carolina style and Western North Carolina style.
Yes, they do.
And in the East, so the Eastern one doesn't seem to have any tomato sauce at all. It's vinegar and hot peppers.
Correct.
Whereas the western part does have some tomato, and then you get into South Carolina where it has the mustard added. So I have just been questing for Eastern North Carolina style barbecue, and it seems like you can not find it outside of the eastern part of North Carolina. There was a place out by Utica that used to serve it. I don't know if they're still in business there. Do you know any place where you can get it, or do you guys ever contemplate just having at least a squeeze bottle or something full of just the Eastern style?
I was never a huge fan of the Eastern style. A lot of people ask me about the Carolina-style sauces, and they're vinegar-based because back in the days, and up until really the mid-70s, hogs had a much higher percentage of body fat in them. And then is when they started that whole pork is the other white meat campaign.
Right.
There was an industry-wide movement to actually lean down the hogs. They don't have as much fat in them. The vinegar sauce is to cut the fat, to give a little tartness to offset the fat.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, the Carolinas, their barbecue is about whole hog and pulled pork.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
You made a very interesting point about Eastern has no tomato in it and the Western has more tomato in it. This is a very curious phenomenon that has to do with the introduction of the tomato into the American diet. Okay, when people settled the Eastern coast, tomatoes were part of the nightshade family and were considered poisonous. People didn't eat them.
Uh-huh.
And then it was around Thomas Jefferson's time, he was actually kind of key in introducing it into the American diet. So at that point, the frontier had moved a little bit further west. And now you'll see the further west you go, there's more tomato incorporated. Like you get to Kansas City, it's bam, it's a tomato sauce.
Yeah.
So at that point, Americans
come to think of it, you're, that's true. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, it's funny. Somebody asked me that one time, and I just kind of made that up. And then my girlfriend at the time actually researched. She goes, I know you were full of it when you said that. She goes, no, you're actually right.
So hang on. The takeaway here, David, is that apparently Sean makes a lot of things up. So we might have to go back through this show and find out what, in fact, he made up. But apparently that was true. Thank you, David, for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Now, Sean, you grew up in Oklahoma.
Yes.
You know, here, And my dad, he grilled bar. You know, we went out and grilled burgers, and I do that, and I'm sure my son will go out and do that. And but wait, where you're from, barbecue is serious business, right?
People take it very seriously. And it was funny, when I first, right before I opened, I was living up in near Saratoga and was buying my eggs from a farm lady. And one day she wanted to introduce, oh, I want you to introduce you to my son-in-law. And here's this great big old guy. He's a good head taller than me. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, Sean here's going to be opening up a barbecue joint. He's like, barbecue? What the hell you know about barbecue, boy? You know, and she was like, oh, don't mind him. He's from Texas. I'm like, ah, that's okay. Nobody's perfect. I'm from Oklahoma. And so Texas and Oklahoma have this thing going on. But at that point, he realized that, okay, I do know something about barbecue.
Because you were from Oklahoma.
And I'm allowed to give him a hard time because he's from Texas.
There you go.
But it was so funny. When we first opened up, got a lot of compliments on the brisket. People said, oh, that's the best brisket I've ever had. And I was like, okay, well, you're from upstate New York. Okay, thank you, but what do you know?
Nice.
And then one day, in a nice way.
Right, of
but
course.
One day I had these four guys came in, and they all got brisket plates, and then they came over, and they're like, son, we're up here, we're engineers from Texas, we're up here working for GE, and they're like, that's the best damn brisket we've had outside of Texas.
Well, there
and
you go.
And that's it from them, okay, that's a compliment,
right?
And I'll take that.
But you're teaching us, right? You've been here, how long have you been here now?
Wouldn't it be 13 years old in September?
So you're teaching us all. We learn slowly up here, but we'll get it. Over to Charles in Hyde Park. Charles.
Hey, how you doing? This is just a comment on those burgers outside on the grill.
Yeah.
What I use, a waffle iron had failed, so I took the pans out, or the waffle. You know, anyways, I use that. I put those on the top of a charcoal fire, and then that gets hot. Okay. And then those salted burgers go on there, and they come out like it's just like a homemade flat top in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good.
That's a good idea.
So that was my only comment.
All right. Well, you want to comment on that, Mark right. Lansing?
Sounds like we got MacGyver over here. Sounds like a great great idea. I'm surprised it came out really good.
Burger and waffles. Chicken and waffles.
Hey, Charles, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Mark Lansing, you're very laid back, man. It's been a rough night, rough day?
We've been open for 2 months, so it's been a rough 2 months.
And you're open 7 days a week?
Correct.
Do you work 7 days a week?
I work 5.5 days a week.
That's a
about 70 hours a week.
That's a long long stretch. Yes. And then what do you just recover in the off season?
I hibernate. No, I have 3 kids.
Yeah.
And I have a lovely wife who has a business out of our home.
Yeah.
So I get to spend time with my family.
3 kids will keep you tired on your own, and then you got to work 70. Probably go 70 hours of work just to get away from the house, right? All right, let's go back to the phones. Jody in Glenmont. Jody, you're on.
Hi. I'm driving home from my job, and I listen to you every Friday afternoon, and I love your show.
Thank you.
To the lady that talked about making turkey burgers less dry.
Yeah.
To a pound of ground turkey, I add 1 egg and my seasonings and a little grated Parmesan cheese and breadcrumbs to make it malleable. And then I throw in dried cranberries, and that gives it a nice little moistness to the burger.
But don't the cranberries sort of overtake the taste?
No, you don't put so many in that, it's just a few, like a handful in the pound of maybe third of a cup. And you blend them so you get 3 or 4 cranberries per burger.
And you put them on the grill or you fry them up?
Either way.
All right. Well, thanks, Jody.
When you mash the meat, make sure that the cranberries go right into the center of the meat, so that they're not on the outside edge. You don't want them to burn.
Right. Well, perfect. Thank you very much for the call. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you listening. The number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Capital Q open 7 days a week?
We used to be open 7 days a week. Over the winter, we went down to 6, closing on Mondays. We'll probably start reopening on Mondays, although having that day off is kind of nice.
Yeah, that is nice. And so you're on Ontario Street, because I know I go by every day. And, your mind is wandering as you're going home, and I know I see you every day. I just didn't realize that you're still on Ontario Street
We're over in the middle of a neighborhood.
Myrtle in Ontario?
Pardon?
Myrtle in Ontario?
Yeah, between Myrtle and Morris.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people, you know, I start describing where it's at, where it is, and they're like, "Oh, that's the old Meister's place."
Yeah,
like,
Emil Meister's.
And those are your old time Albany people. They know Meister's was an Albany institution. I didn't know anything about
it. Did you ever? You never went?
No, no. Oh. I had just moved up here in 2004.
They made their own sausages.
There was a German sausage shop. They made all these different sausages. And you
know,
I found this bin in the basement that has like all the stamps for the different labels for the ingredients for the sausages, and it's just incredible.
No, that place was really incredible.
Right, and when I found it, it was pretty much of a train wreck. You know, the front room was a disaster. There were holes in the floor; you could see into the basement.
Yeah,
because everything had been taken out of it.
Sure.
But when we got into the back and found that smoker, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, this is the place.
Oh, they left a smoker?
Well, the smoker's built in. It's holding up the roof.
Oh.
That's why when it caught on fire last summer, I had a little bit of a problem.
Well, I guess so. All right, let's take a quick call or two before we get out of here. 800-348-2551. Laura in Glens Falls. Laura.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a comment about the turkey burgers, too. I make them all the time, and I make them with the 93% fat. Ground turkey, and I put in Dijon mustard and Worcestershire sauce, and I cook them in a cast iron pan, and they never come out dry.
Well, that sounds good.
That actually does sound good.
Sounds really nice. You wouldn't think of using any bacon fat in there, Laura?
No, because I'm, you know, eating the turkey because I want lower fat to begin with,
see.
But they're really tasty that way. You put in, you know, a substantial amount of Dijon mustard and Worcestershire, and they come out really good. Just don't overcook them.
Yeah, perfect. Mm-hmm. And how do you usually cook them, on the grill?
No, in a cast iron pan on top of the stove.
Okay. Well, Laura, thank you very much for checking in here. You know, when I got married, I had never in my life had anything cooked in bacon fat that I know of. And my wife just was like, oh, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So my cholesterol went up about 9,000% immediately. But it so far has been worth
it. It's the king of fats.
The king.
Yep.
All right. So if people want to find out more about Capital Q Smokehouse, you guys on the web?
Yes, we are. Eatmypork.com.
Say it again.
Eatmypork.com.
Eatmypork.com. All right. So just be careful how you type that in, folks. And Mark Lansing.
I want people to eat more pork.
Mark Lansing Jr. of Jumpin' Jacks. You guys on the web?
Yes, we are. JumpinJacksDriveInInc.com.
All right. And what can we find the menus and stuff there?
Yeah, you find our menus there. We also have a budding Instagram page and Twitter.
Oh, really? You're on the Instagram?
Yes, we are.
How about you?
We do Facebook half-heartedly, but that's about it.
I don't do the
Twitter or the Instagram. Well, I'm old school.
He's got the kids working for him, you know, and so...
Right. They're all about the social media.
Well,
they sit there and they text across the room to each other.
Well, you know, thank you both for being here, and Sean, may there be no fires in the smoker this year.
Hopefully not. No, we've got that situation under control.
Yeah, you know, and Jumpin' Jacks, enjoy the rest of your season until Labor Day.
Thank you.
And, you know, think about going on, because the kids come back from college, to college, and you catch a month out of that.
This is true.
You know? We'll talk. I got a business model for you.
Sounds good.
Support for WAMC comes from Gatherers Granola, Schenectady, New York, baked in small batches and stirred by hand. Gatherers is available at Price Chopper, Market 32, Hannaford, local independent grocery stores, and online at ggranola.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.co. OP. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Well, that's it for today and this week on Vox Pop. Thanks to Mark Lansing Jr. of Jumpin' Jacks. Thanks to Sean Custer of Capital Q Smokehouse. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Barb King took the calls. Our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Reminder, no Medical Monday next week. You know why? Because the fun drive starts at 6 a.m. You can help shorten the drive, get back to regular programming, such as, well, this is somewhat regular programming. It's irregular many, many days. You can pledge at WAMC.org. We have a locked box. It's open until we begin the drive. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Stand by for the best of our knowledge.